always seek to keep learning, no matter how many years you've been out. Keep asking questions, keep looking at your own practice, keep reading, just be thirsty for new information and be willing to take feedback and just keep learning.
Todd Watson and Jessica Groening from Western Carolina University come back on the show to update us on a study that they talked about when they launched it 2 years ago. We catch up with them, plus dig into some travel physical therapy, still a very hot topic in the profession. We talk with our expert friends at RE Medical Staffing about the ins and outs of what you need to know for travel PT. The first round is powered by Owens Recovery Science. These guys have it. Single source for PTs who want to get certified in blood flow restriction rehabilitation training, plus the equipment you need to apply it. OwensRecoveryScience.com.
PT Pintcast is brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offers continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, six PT residency programs, and OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding student internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what the IHL can do for you and support your professional development. Go to brooksihl.org.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
This is
the PT Pintcast.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours, covering CSM, that's Combined Sections Meeting. All the cool kids call it CSM, though. 2018 here in New Orleans. And I love when we do episodes like this. It's kind of like when they do Shark Tank and then they follow up. Oh, like, so what happened after that?
After the tank.
Right. After the tank.
That's more important.
That is more important. What, you know, did it work or not? Or what happened? Todd Watson, Jessica Groening, welcome back to the show. I don't know what episode this will be coming out, but it's close to 300. You guys were on episode 62.
Yes.
So we're old.
So, yeah, I think that was like 20... 15, 16, 16, early 16?
2016.
Yeah, I think
no longer relevant.
Yeah. No?
It's too old.
Too old. So you can scroll back and find that. Or you can just listen to this one because it's after the tank.
Yes.
So why did we talk then? What were we covering?
We were covering the current happenings in our dance medicine research and the study we had going on. We were just finished with a collection of pilot data. And we thought it was really exciting, and we continued on with it, and that's why we're here.
Yeah, because now it's like, well, what happened later? We want to know. Let's follow. So what happened later?
We continued with data collection for a whole another year, and we actually,
let's briefly talk about the study.
There's been a lot that's happened.
We got to talk about the study because it's actually exciting. I can't believe I skipped over the sexy part of it.
Yeah, I'm not very good at this sexy stuff. So.
Yeah. So Jessica,
good
you
thing we're on the radio.
You kind of have you have dual roles, or
correct,
you have an additional role at the school. You guys are from Western,
yes,
Western Carolina
Western
University.
Carolina.
Plug. Hashtag WCU.
Let's do it. You guys, so describe your study to like someone, so someone like me can actually understand it.
Okay, so the original study.
Yeah.
Right. So the dual hats. So we're both instructors in the physical therapy program at Western, and doing research, but I'm also the head coach of the dance team there.
Yes.
So we started back years ago looking at dance performance originally and to see if there was anything that we could do to improve that. So we were looking at core stability and looking at how that relates to dance performance.
Everybody's like core, strengthen your core. Dancers have to have a strong core. Do dancers have a strong, do they have a strong core so they're a good dancer, or do they have are they a good dancer because of the core, like chicken or the egg? That's what you guys were doing.
Right.
And then, so then you looked at something specifically. You guys had a control group, and you gave this variable group an exercise plan to hammer the core.
I think you must have re-listened to the episode.
No, I didn't.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Great memory.
Good job. I'll
listen to my own show.
So the dancers actually have a pretty good core compared to, you know, regular non-dancer.
You could say it, me.
Right. Good. but we were looking specifically at a core training program that was designed specifically for dancers,
based on some
other evidence that we designed. Yeah. Yep. And then implemented over 9 weeks. It was 9 weeks originally, and so the control group just continued with their regular dance training, and then the experimental group did this 9-week training program. It was 2 times a week where I did it with them as their coach, and I made sure that they were doing it correctly.
Right.
And then they had to do 1 time on their own. And then we looked at changes over time. And really, everything improved.
Yeah, and we don't have a big team.
Sure.
It was a small team. So that was just our pilot. It was a small sample. So year two going into that, we just said, let's move forward with implementation of the intervention with all of the dancers. When we finished all of that, we ended up with an N of 24.
Okay.
And 24 dancers, and that's when our published data is based on that data. And so when we finished that came out. That came out about 1 year ago in the
right.
International Journal of Sports Physical Therapy.
Yeah.
It was pretty much the same program. Same program, 9 weeks, same variables we looked at pre and post. We used ultrasound imaging. We used ultrasound imaging on the front end to determine that, you know, are they really activating their core?
Right.
It's one thing to say, hey, make sure you do your core
right.
while you do this.
I've taken Pilates.
I'm
always doing it wrong.
And you know, half the people, they ain't doing it.
They're not doing
right.
it.
So we wanted to ensure running through a biofeedback program on the front end prior to doing the implementation of
sure.
the core stabilization training program. So we did that, and we also post tested their core with the biofeedback with the ultrasound
gotcha.
To determine they could still
do it.
Still do it. Yeah. So that worked pretty well. What happened? This is not even in the paper. What happened with your dance team, Jessica, at Nationals that year?
Which year was this? 2016.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, they got third in the nation.
Yeah.
Third place.
National championship.
So it's like Bring It On.
Right. It's pretty dramatic.
The movie Bring It On. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Stomp the Yard or whatever that
yeah,
was.
Yeah, right.
So congratulations.
Yeah,
that's a big
thanks.
Deal.
It was a big deal. It was the best they've ever placed. I attribute it all to our core training program. Not really, but it definitely didn't hurt. So
no,
that was
absolutely.
Definitely our highest finish. Prior to that, I think the highest finish we had was fifth place. So third place, which is pretty awesome.
You can brush the dirt off your shoulder.
Yeah,
well
right.
done.
Thanks.
Any PT students also on the dance team? Were there any dual?
No, I have several. A couple every year that ask, you know, mostly they're joking. But we've had a couple of dancers come through our program and then are actually part of our research group, the studying part, not
sure,
the
sure.
actual assessment part. So. But they don't have time for that.
I mean,
it's just, you know, 20 plus hours a week that the dancers are doing and our students are in class. So
yeah.
they don't have time.
Yeah. The only thing I had time for was drinking beer and talking PT to people like you. It's the only thing I had time for when I was a student. I was
right.
like, sure, I'll give
and
it
And the same thing now.
And ironically, this is my full-time job. So I do that. So.
Very good.
So you can create your own job in
PT
school.
There you go.
So that's great. So what next?
So that was kind of the first part of this studying the dance team stuff. So then we really started looking at, okay, so we were looking at, does this core stability training program, core stability specific program improve their core and then their dance performance? And it did. It improved turning and single leg balance and dynamic balance and strength and all of those good things. So then we kind of thought, well, what impact does this have on injury? Because, you know, core is connected to injury. And so
dancers are like top two in terms of like per or
it's just
injury rate.
If you're dancer,
you're dancing hurt.
You're going
yeah.
to
yeah.
have
that
injury.
That is
right.
in the culture.
Yeah.
Yes, unfortunately. So then we kind of tabled the core stability program and really just studied injuries across the season. We looked at injuries prior to the season, so we did some retrospective analysis, and then we did what happens during the season and studied that for a year.
Now, are you still working? Is this your dance?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, every year the numbers vary.
Sure, sure.
So we had a bigger team at the start of that study. Mm-hmm. I think we had 20-something people. Well, 24 was the...
Okay.
26 or 29
something,
dancers.
Right. So we had a lot. And then, you know, over the past couple of years, that numbers kind of changed. So that is the only, I think, one issue from studying this group. But anyway, so then we looked at injuries across the year. And really, what we found was consistent with other dancers. Dancers get injured. More likely, it's a chronic injury compared to an acute injury. It's happening in the lower extremity.
Sure.
And it happens not in performance, but mostly in practice.
Almost
right? That's
exclusively.
Yeah, in practice. Huh. We looked at other things
Why?
Like footwear and
than
surface.
Other sports. Other sports, it's in the game.
In the game.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. That I'm not sure why that. I mean, they practice
just
a lot.
Reps, right? Dancing.
Repetition,
I'm assuming is just a ton
high
of reps.
High repetition.
Yeah.
So that was very interesting to us. The other thing that was, I think, even more interesting was what time of the season it happens.
Okay.
And 7 of the 11 injuries happen in the first quarter of the season.
Yeah. So when they're not fully in, you know, game ready, performance ready condition.
And so one of the things that's different, I think, about college competitive dance team versus like professional dancers, they're dancing all year round, and it's their job, it's their occupation. It changes, you know, they might be doing a more conditioning phase or something else. My dancers are gone for the summer. You know, they're college students. May, April comes around, end of the competition season, they're done.
They're working out, but it's
they're
like flip cup and like competitive, you know, beer pong. I don't know. Yeah. We would never say that.
And they are supposed to be doing some conditioning and training over the summer, but that's all on their
own. But this is good for us in terms of, hey, now we know when you do the stuff we tell you to do, you're in better shape and you get hurt less.
And that's probably more applicable, I think, to the typical dancer because they're going to be taking a break. So we found that they're really getting injured in the first quarter of the season. And so what do we have to do preseason to prevent that?
Right.
Or what do we need to do in the first quarter of the season
to
really
be hitting them with like a, okay, here, I'm emailing you an HEP. You do it a couple weeks, you know, that's before you come back.
Yeah.
So be doing this.
Yeah, we do that, and that's not as effective. Well, so I think we need to figure out a different way of doing
it. We try to do our homework as late as possible.
They don't check their email this summer. So.
ever.
Can you DM them? You got to get on the DMs.
Yeah, that's the
drop
thing.
It into the DM.
What is the DM?
We'll
direct
talk about
message.
That. Yeah.
Direct message. I know there's like the private message.
Because I have two college-age daughters.
That's
right,
it.
That's
there's like the private message. Isn't that a thing? PM me.
PM me.
That's like on Facebook.
DM is also like
that's on Instagram.
Instagram.
See, I'm learning.
You're getting it.
Trying slowly.
We're learning about dancing and research and DMs.
But the other really cool thing that I loved about studying the injuries is that Todd was the healthcare provider. So when they got injured, if they had an injury, we defined injury.
Study.
Yes, if they had an injury defined as having to modify or stop regular dance team activities for over 24 hours, then that sparked us doing a survey. So they did a survey, and we collected information about what happened, how they got injured. And then they had to follow up with a screen, an injury screen. And so, you know, typically our dancers aren't getting regular health care or certainly not physical therapy for any injuries they're having. So they get injured, they go see somebody, and they say, okay, stop for 2 weeks. Well, that doesn't help because they got to go right back to their crazy schedule.
Well,
they
now
were
we
doing.
Know it'll make it worse.
Make it worse,
when
exactly.
When they try to go back.
So that was really a benefit, and I think Todd can speak to that part of it, is they got an injury screen, and then they could be...
Yeah, so Jessica developed a Qualtrics survey they get hurt, they pull out their smartphone, boom, they fill out, we can do it right at practice, and that comes to us, and within 24 hours, we're seeing them for the screen.
And the cool part is it stays within the program, so
right.
like you know what their routine is like because you helped design it. So that's great.
Yep. So sparked a screen. I see them and they say, oh, this is what we need to do. You can go back to practice or triage it some other way.
Sure.
So that helped us keep them in the program as quickly as possible. But
diagnose the injuries too, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
You ask them, retrospectively, what kind of injury did you have? And they don't know.
Right.
But now we have somebody who can actually say this is, you know, this type of injury, a sprain or strain or...
And Jess, you talked about how we were tracking the injuries. And so last year with the team, we did preseason measures of the, you know, SCBT, strength, balance, just as we had done before. And then we just tracked injuries all year. No intervention. We repeated that this year. But this year we've done the multi-week training program as the intervention. So we have a control group, which was last year's team. This year's the intervention group. So we're going to have side by side comparison.
Yeah.
Bring it back around. And so what we're seeing is, so as she mentioned, last year, huge majority of the injuries were in that first quarter of the season when they're sort of ramping back up into their training.
Right.
And then things stabilized for them. And then there was a bit more towards the tail end. Well, this year, what we're looking at, they came back in, there was fewer injuries, but they were all in that first quarter of the year, ramping back up. Some of these things are recurrent, but once they got well into that training program, we've had no injuries.
Right. It's crazy. So we're not done the season yet. We still go through...
So, knock on wood.
4 weeks. So.
Yeah, no more. We
another
go through
weeks,
mid-April,
okay.
And then we're in the last quartile of the season. So
my head goes to someone listening is like, this is really... you cover all the bases. This is great. How do we get it to some other, you know, PT school that also has a dance program?
Right, yeah.
Let's do
so
that.
We've been investigating that. We've got some connections, and I think, you know, now that it's, I think, able to disseminate the program for sure because it's online and we have videos that go with it, you know, this past year I did every session with the dancers. So we did three sessions a week. I did every session with them. So I was making sure that I was giving them feedback on their appropriate form, making sure they were doing it. You know, we were asking them to do it one time on their own.
Right.
And then we asked them how many of those dancers, I don't remember those numbers off the top of my head, but a significant amount did not do the third time on their own per week.
So now
So now we're ensuring that they're getting it three times a week. So that's good. So yes, there's the data collection piece, which, you know, all of the measures we're using are, you know, common measures that PTs use. But then the making sure that the implementation of the exercise, core stability exercise program happens. So I don't know many. The benefit is that as a PT and a coach, I can make sure they're doing it right. So we need to make some connections with teams, obviously dance teams, but also physical therapists at those to at least come in at least to have some training
to do
it correctly.
You want to give people an email address in case they're hearing this and they go and they don't have to look it up?
Sure.
Do that.
Do you want your email address? My email address. Okay, so it's jegranning, G-R-A-N-I-N-G, at wcu.edu. You can also look up on our faculty websites. It's on there, but also on the dance team website on our Catamount page, and you can click right on and send me a message there.
So slide her a DM. Slip her into the DMs right there.
I don't know how to check those.
Just email.
Email's best.
That's awesome. Well, good for you guys.
Yeah, thanks.
You guys are doing a poster. You're doing a poster?
We have a poster with our prospective. Yeah,
okay,
for
good.
That.
Good,
yeah,
good,
we've
good.
Got that here
For
today.
The prospective, just the injury, looking at injuries. We've not obviously.
We were at the International Association of Dance Medicine Science Conference in Houston
in
a
October.
Few months back.
Good
that was our
you.
Other study.
That was great.
Good for you.
Great programming there. So
made some really good connections. I think we're going to think about how this might go to other dance populations or other performing art populations. So we're thinking about that in the future.
Yeah, great to see PTs. Not only at a PT conference, we'd love to see you here, but I like to see you at someone else's conference so they know what PTs do.
That's right.
We always say, I just want our PTs to be at the table.
Right.
I want to be in the room at least, and then hopefully get at the table. And then, you know, we don't have to own the table, but I just want to be there. I want to be there when the decisions are being made and discussions are being had.
Sure.
Yeah. I want to thank our friends from Arias Medical Staffing bringing us out here to CSM 2018 in New Orleans. They really had to twist my arm to come to a conference with PTs in New Orleans.
Right.
It was a rough gig.
I'm sure.
February, and I live in the Northeast. But these guys will get you a job anywhere in the United States. They have positions all over. A lot of different settings. They'll just assign a recruiter like Brooke or Sunny right to you, and then they go and hunt, find a job. They bring them back to you. That's it. And, oh, by the way, I always like to say this because people just assume it costs you something. It doesn't. They just find you jobs. You don't have to pay anything. There's no, like, you know, there's no sign-up fee or anything. AureusMedical.com. That's Aureus Medical. So thanks to those guys. So they sponsor a feature on the show called Three Questions. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay.
Rapid fire. Here we go. If you could go somewhere and be a PT for a short travel 13-week assignment, where would you want to go in the U.S.?
Well, I would actually love to be a traveling PT with, like, Cirque du Soleil or one of those traveling shows.
Okay. Okay. I like that.
I don't know if that answers your question because that does travel all over.
It's different. Never had that answer, which is why I like it.
My answer is, a long time ago when I was your age, I'd only been working a short while, and I asked myself the exact same question. I took a traveling job 13 weeks here, New Orleans.
Wow.
Nice.
You did that?
I did that.
Well played.
That's where I met my wife.
Smart. Wow.
See, well played on
Come
many
to New Orleans.
Levels.
You're going to meet your wife, probably. Second question, what's something that you read that really inspired you? Doesn't have to be PT related.
I was just reading one about the Genome Project guy, Language of God, Francis Collins, is really intriguing. I really like that one.
Heard about that one.
Oh, good. My gosh. Mine's not PT related at all, and it's because my fifth grade kid told me that I needed to read the book Wonder, and I read it.
Oh, from the
and
movie?
And I think today in today's world, just choose kind, right? And so that's, to me.
Love that.
Not PT related, but we can all be kind. So.
I like when we see things from outside of our little, you know, I know we're here at a conference 17,000 strong, but bring some other things in, ideas and inspirations. Third question, who is someone within the field of physical therapy that the audience should know more about? Maybe somebody who's doing great work, but they're flying under the radar, and that the audience should definitely go look them up.
Oh, my gosh.
I was not prepared for this question.
That's a crazy
Good.
Hard
That's,
question.
I love those questions.
Oh, man.
Who's someone you love, a mentor? Maybe they're not on social media beating their chest, but they're great. And you just want to, this is a chance for you to like give kudos. Like, yeah,
oh,
you know what?
Goodness.
This person's awesome.
Well, there was just such a great group that we met at that dance medicine conference.
Yeah.
And
so you
there
can
were,
say that. That can be the group.
Yeah.
The
I mean, it was just, there was a whole lot of people here in the U.S., but a lot. Trinity Laban University out in the U.K. They're in the U.K. They were doing, I mean, their stuff is just cutting edge. It's incredible studying dance. Medicine and science. There was it was just a really great group. Okay. Physicians, PTs, just that whole dance medicine. I Adams group. That's just incredible.
That's an acceptable answer. I'll take that for both of you. You guys are off the hot seat. Have to tell the story one more time, though. How did we meet, Todd? This is, and I barely remembered this because there might have been alcohol. Was it Charlotte?
It was Charlotte.
All right, you tell it.
This was, wasn't it the next
2013, I was a first-year student.
There was an after-party at some club.
There was.
And loud music, boom, boom.
Now, hold on a second. I was actually at an after-party. I know you're shocked.
And I'd had a few myself, but I was going to the men's room.
urinals.
And I see you, Jimmy, and you just turn to me, complete stranger, and says, "Man, PT's is awesome. We make people walk."
I'm hammered.
And I don't even
micturating.
Yes, and I don't think it was said quite that clearly.
Probably not. I talk in cursive sometimes.
And we struck up a conversation.
Which violates a man rule. You're not supposed to talk while you're at the urinal.
Yeah, you stare straight ahead.
But I was just super excited, I guess. I don't know. So that's how we met.
Right.
And then we then the next year at Next in D.C.
Yeah, I said, "Aren't you the guy from the urinal?"
And I was like, "Oh, crap. I remember that." And that's the first time.
Yes,
and then I was like, "Hey."
Yeah, then we talked.
And I'm like, "Hey, I'm doing a podcast. Let's get you on." And that was episode 6.
Yeah, that was exactly.
So that was
a good story.
Oh, my goodness.
So you never know when you're going to make connections. It could even be at the urinal in the next stall.
Absolutely. I tell my students, and you got to reach out.
Don't reach out when you're at the urinal, though. Don't reach out.
No.
All right, so last thing we do on the show, at the end of the pint, we do a shot.
This is the parting shot. Powered by Optum Manual Therapy.
Taking the orthopedic clinical specialty examination? To pass the OCS, it's important to understand clinical prediction rules, clinical practice guidelines, and recent research. Optum Manual Therapy has the premier OCS prep course that gets you from start to passing step by step.
Test out 3 free study guides right now at OptumFellowship.com.
So, parting shot of wisdom, what would you leave with the audience? What's your soapbox? What's your remember this?
All right, I just say, especially for students, come to combined sections. Come to next. Yeah,
DC next year.
You learn. This is learning on steroids. There's so much opportunity.
No one has ever said it like that, but that nails it. Learning on steroids.
And you can cater it to what you want, which is really neat about any other. There's not another conference like this. And then I guess for me, I'm going to go from the clinical education angle and just always seek to keep learning, no matter how many years you've been out. Keep asking questions. Keep looking at your own practice. Keep reading. Just be thirsty for new information and don't, be willing to take feedback and just keep learning.
Jessica, Todd, appreciate you guys coming on the show. And then coming on the show again as we get close to the 300th episode now.
Yes.
Love that. Appreciate you guys. And go get some more learning on steroids, okay?
All right.
Awesome. Thanks.
Working out his orbicularis oris until failure. Jimmy McKay on the PT Pinecast.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry.
Brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
It uses data from the profession.
For the profession.
To help you elevate your patient care, visualize your value, and define your future. The Outcomes Registry collects and aggregates electronic health record data from practices to help physical therapists make well-informed clinical decisions and track clinical outcomes against nationwide averages. By joining the registry, you'll gain a critical tool to demonstrate the value of physical therapy. It's easy. It's fast. It's the future. Find out more online now at ptoutcomes.com.
That's ptoutcomes.com.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry.
Brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show now. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. The happy hour today, I call it the big dance. In the Big Easy. The big dance in the Big Easy. Look at that. We're here at CSM Combined Sections Meeting 2018, the biggest gathering of physical therapists on planet Earth. We're very excited for it. Continuing to cover the guys who've been there from the beginning. And now you're wearing we'll have a picture up later, but you're wearing the right appropriate clothing. I love it.
Of course.
Brooke and Reed from Aureus Medical, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. It's a kind of a rite of passage. You guys haven't been on the podcast just yet. Aureus has been sponsoring the show for as long as we've been pretty much doing it. And we always like to bring in the newbies for the show. It's kind of it's a little bit like hazing. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You give me like the deer in headlights. Like, what is he about to ask me?
It's great to be here.
Okay. Well, thank you. Reed, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jimmy.
All right. So here's what we're going to ask you. We're going to talk about What do you do at Arias?
Yeah, so I am one of the student outreach coordinators at Arias. So I work solely with students. We help them, make them through the process once they get ready for graduation, help them find their first position. We also do a lot of resume reviews, interview prepping, anything to take some of that stress off their shoulders.
All that stuff that we're like, oh yeah, I know I'm supposed to do that,
right?
But I'm learning anatomy and physiology and differential diagnosis, but I know I should have a business card or a resume or anything.
Yes.
You guys do that. So working specifically, I mean, as we're standing here talking, there's students all behind you guys.
There's tons of them, yes.
Do you have you guys cover the entire country. We want to make sure people understand that. 50 United States, because everybody always asks, of course, about which state? Hawaii. That's the one everybody's like, do you do Hawaii and Alaska? And everybody's
Absolutely.
Like, yes, we don't just do the lower 48. So what are some of the questions that students ask you, you know, either at a conference like this when they're first contacting you about travel PT, or once they get into the process of, oh, okay, maybe this is for me. What are some of the common questions you hear?
Right. So I get a lot of, what are the next steps? What do I need to do? How do I start my job search?
Licensure.
Yes, that's a big one.
You guys help with that.
Yes. Yeah, we reimburse for licensure as a traveler. So resumes are a big one with students. So just like the basic, how do I get started steps?
You say basic, and I understand the questions are basic, but trust me, from a guy who had to do licensure and stuff like that, like, it's not basic. That sort of stuff hurts my head as a PT. We don't like it.
Right.
Reed, what do you do at Arias?
I'm an account manager.
So what does that mean?
So I'm kind of the liaison between the clients and the candidates.
Okay. Yep. So you guys are out there, and you have clients who need physical therapists all over the place in the U.S., as we said, all 50 states. If someone's going to come in and they want a job with Arias, somebody maybe right behind us, one of these students, how much does it cost the student to get a job or to have one of you guys look for a job for them?
Nothing.
That's the thing, is people are like, well, how much does it cost? What's the cost? Is it monthly? You show up, you're a physical therapist, you're licensed. We want to bring your skills to where you have opportunities. Where are some of the places that you work with?
My territory is Texas, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, North Carolina, and South Carolina.
Wow. Yep. So we have jobs all over the place.
Everywhere, yep.
Yeah. What kind of settings? Is it just like one specific? Is it just ortho? Is it outpatient? What?
We do everything. I've been doing a lot of home health lately. Seems like it's kind of a growing area.
Yeah.
So... but we see everything.
Population's aging.
Yep.
Talking about that earlier. Population is, there's a giant bubble there.
It's a good time to get in.
Yep. You can do anything in terms of setting that you'd like, anywhere there's an opening. It's not just outpatient ortho. So if you have an interest in a specific area, we got you for that. Your goal is to make these people, 17,000 around us, do what they want to do and are passionate about wherever they want to do it.
Right.
I love that. What are some of the unique questions that you deal with?
You know, a lot of the same things that she said. Also, just wondering where the jobs are.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, like, hey, can I get into this area? What does it look like there? Because,
yeah.
You know, we're on the ground every day seeing where the jobs are and working directly with the clients and understanding what their needs are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just kind of parting that knowledge to them.
So you're like a celebrity matchmaker for clinics.
You're darn right.
And PTs.
Absolutely.
What's the proportion in terms of students or new grads and then seasoned clinicians? Because you don't have to just be a student or new grad. We're not just talking to students and new grads here, right?
Yeah. If you're looking for a comparison, I'd say maybe 50-50.
Yeah.
Maybe even more so on the new grad side.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, a lot of those folks are younger, don't have families right away, not settled down somewhere, so they have the ability to go out and travel.
Okay. Yeah. Going back to Brooke. Hey, everybody wants to know, is it more? Is it the same? Because I got to travel. There's expenses. What do I do? My head hurts.
Yeah. So a lot of things go into pay. I get that question a lot, and it varies by a few different things. Location is one. You know, experience, setting, facility. So a lot of things go into it. Plus, as a traveler, you get a lot of perks with per diems, housing, things like that. So
we don't know this stuff. This is why you're here.
Yes.
Why is it better to come and find a job with you than using just a regular job board, just a generic job search thing? I Googled PT jobs in Atlanta because I want to go to Atlanta. Why is it better to come and work with Brooke?
I think we're unique because we have a student outreach team who works solely with students.
Yeah.
So we're focused on helping you throughout the process, you know, with your experience, not limited. So I think that's a very special quality that we have, and not just even looking for jobs. You know, if you just want a simple critique on your resume, somebody to look it over, we're there for you.
How much does that cost?
Zero.
Okay.
Nothing.
Interview skills, you guys.
Yes, absolutely.
How much does that cost?
Zero.
You guys are starting to pick up the trend here, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's great. Like, I literally say this all the time, and I truly mean it. I think you know, the audience who listens kind of gets what I'm talking about is when we first started talking about, hey, we're going to bring a sponsor in. First of all, I got to know, what's the sponsor do? I'm going to be out there talking about them. I should make sure I actually believe in the actual product that I'm talking about. So it's like, what do you guys do? And Sunny, who doesn't want to be on the show right now, she's giving me a look. She's like, we find PTs jobs. And then she stopped talking. And I was like, yeah. But what's the catch? And she was like, oh, I don't know. There is no catch. I'm like, all right, I can get behind that. Because that's what these people want to do. And the best part is sometimes you get locked in. Well, I don't know how to get into that city, but I'd always want to go. Isn't that a shame? You'd always wanted to go to that city and you didn't because you didn't know anybody there who could get you a job or hook you up. It's like, you know Brooke, you know Reed, they'll hook you up.
Right.
What else should people know about getting into travel physical therapy that they don't know about?
Yeah, I'd say just be flexible. You know, you never know kind of where travel is going to bring you, and just play by ear.
Yeah.
You know, be able to do that.
It's got to be fun because I think people who would, it's a bold move, but it's kind of exciting. People who are drawn to that, hopefully they're going to be flexible. They're like, I'm willing to move to a new city maybe that I've never been to before and do this job for 13 weeks or, you know, whatever the assignment might be. It sounds cool. Like, it's like doing a semester abroad or something like that. It's like, go do PT, this thing that you love. Go do it over here. Do you like it? Stay. If not, go somewhere else. Roll the dice again.
Well, the thing about it, too, is that it's not just the job that's new to you. You're in a new city. You don't maybe know anybody there. All your daily routines are different all of a sudden. So it's like, it's some people it hits harder than others. So I think that's something that's great about Arias, too, is that we're there for you. Like, a lot of my employees out there in the field are my good friends.
Yeah. So we do this thing on the show called Three Questions. It is sponsored by, take a guess, Arius, A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com. See how I just did that live? Just slipped it right in there. Three questions. We'll do this rapid fire style. We'll go back and forth. Start with Reed.
Okay.
Let's see. First question is, where would you go and work doing your job in the U.S.? If you could just relocate yourself, where would you want to go geographically?
Hawaii is the easy answer.
Yeah. It's the most popular one.
I would try Alaska.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. Moose, bear. Where are we going? Brooke.
I love the outdoors, so somewhere by the mountains.
Okay.
That's where I would go.
All right.
And there's a lot of variety.
I like that. Staying with Brooke, what's something that you read that really inspired you?
Well, I just wrote a blog, and it was very inspiring.
Okay. What was it about? give us the overview.
It was actually an interview, a Q&A with a new grad, PT. So
where can you find that article?
It's going to come out in March on the Arius newsletter, so check it out.
So join the newsletter at what website?
Ariusmedical.com.
There we go. Something that really inspired you.
Because I'm a hockey guy.
Yeah.
1980 Miracle on Ice.
Oh, come on, man. Amazing. I got to skate on that rink.
No way.
I went to Plastic with a bunch of buddies just for a dude weekend, and I got to curl on the actual curling thing.
Oh, wow.
The whatever they call it, the curling lane. And we got to skate on the rink that they won the gold medal in 1980.
Pretty cool.
Like, goosebumps, man.
I've met some of those guys.
Yes.
Pretty amazing.
Yes. Last question. Who's somebody within the realm of travel PT that is an expert? Like, who's somebody at Arius that you would refer someone to in different areas of specialty?
That's a great question. I'm gonna have to go with my team lead, Becky Schimming. She's done it for a while. She's really knowledgeable, and she makes that connection with her travelers, which is like someone really special. I mean, you'll hear her name even around here.
Human connection goes. I mean, that's paramount. That's the top human connection. Who's somebody who you recommend, hey, if you're thinking about it, here's an expert on this one little niche area of travel PT?
Yeah, that's a good question. We actually, if somebody has a niche area that they want to go to, we get them straight to that account manager in that area. They're the experts. Yeah. They're the ones that are calling into the facilities and getting positions available, so they're the best person to talk to.
That's why getting a job as a PT with Arius is different than going to any of the generic job boards. Look, I understand those things are big and they're great, but this is super, super specific. You guys work with PT. You understand PT. You talk it. You walk it. And that's your day-to-day. You're done. That was great. You guys were nervous before that.
No.
You've done it. Brooke Reed from Arius.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast's CEO, Jimmy McKay, and CBO, Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.
Hey guys, the Movement Maestro here, letting you know that Rock Tape is so much more than just a tape company. We are a movement company. Move stronger, longer with the world's best kinesiology tape, topical pain relief, mobility equipment, and protective gear. But that's not all. Learn from the best with our industry-leading continuing education courses. Want 20% off your first product purchase? Head on over to shop.rocktape.com and use the code PTPINECAST. Again, for the folks in the back, that's shop.rocktape.com and enter the code PTPINECAST. Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape, the movement industry's new standard for education.
Our home on the internet.
PTPINECAST.com.
Created by BuildPT. BuildPT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what BuildPT can do for you today
at BuildPT.com.